You're listening to Source Daily. Join us Monday through Friday to stay up to date on what's happening in North Central Ohio. We'll be sharing a closer look at one of our top stories, along with other news, local history, memorials, answers to your questions, and more. Richland Source City Editor Carl Hunnell began his journalism career 43 years ago. His new 10-part series features Congressional Medal of Honor recipients from Richland County. The series is supported by Mansfield Cemetery Association. Today, Carl and Richland Source Managing Editor Larry Phillips will dive into the story of David Cockley. Before we continue, we'd like to thank our friends and sponsors at RFME Insurance. RFME is committed to protecting you and your family through some of life's most precious and difficult moments. Whether you're looking for home, health, auto, or life insurance, RFME is here to help. Call 419-524-8411 to learn more. Now, our feature story.
Hi, this is Larry Phillips. I'm managing editor of Richland Source. I'm with city editor Carl Hunnell, who is the author of our 10-part series on the Congressional Medal of Honor winners from Richland County. And the first group of these guys are all participants in the Civil War, as is today's subject, First Lieutenant David Cockley from Lexington. And Carl, his citation was from December 4th, 1864. And can you explain a little bit about where Lieutenant Cockley was and how this took place?
Sure. First Lieutenant David Cockley, born in Lexington. He became the third Richland County native to win a Congressional Medal of Honor. He was a part of the 10th Ohio Cavalry Regiment. The unit participated in General William Sherman's March to the Sea from Atlanta to Savannah in late 1864. The unit was organized at Camp Cleveland and Camp Chase beginning in October of 1862. Spent some time in Nashville and Murfreesboro, Tennessee in the spring of 63. Did a lot of picket and scout duty, a lot of marching and counter-marching at the time. It was then assigned to General Judson Kilpatrick's 3rd Cavalry Division. Participated in Sherman's campaign to capture Atlanta. And after Sherman took that city in September of 1864, Sherman, by the way, a native of Lancaster, Ohio, he marched his three armies of nearly 100,000 troops southeast through Georgia. And basically, at that point, Sherman had communicated with Major General Ulysses S. Grant, who was his commander, and basically sent him a telegram. And the telegram was on October 9th, 1864. Sent him a letter. And it basically said, you know, and I'll summarize here, it's not going to do us any good to simply capture land. We've got to break the will of the Confederate civilians, of the people. They have to see, they have to feel this war if you want this to end. He wrote, until we can repopulate Georgia, it's useless to occupy it. But utter destruction of its roads, houses, and people will cripple their military resources. By attempting to hold these roads, we're going to lose 1,000 men a month and gain no result. He said, I can make this march and I can make Georgia howl.
That phrase right there has resonated for 150 years since then, too.
He said, we have over 8,000 cattle and 3 million pounds of bread and no corn, but we can forage the interior of the state. And that's what they did. It was a wide swath. There was not a whole lot of resistance. A lot of what they did was simply forage. They destroyed railroad places every chance they got.
Yeah, what they call those Sherman neckties, where twisted the rail lines.
Right. They would take the rail lines and heat them and then bend them and put them around trees. And they called those Sherman neckties.
And the object was that they're destroying the ability for the Southern people to move transportation-wise.
Right. So Kilpatrick entered Waynesboro. Let's see, let me back up for a second. He had 6,000 people in his cavalry. They were in the process of burning a wooden railroad bridge November 26th north of Waynesboro, but they were driven off by a smaller Confederate cavalry under the command of General Joseph Wheeler. Kilpatrick, who was not known for being a great tactician, he had some nicknames for his troops that he probably didn't like very much, like Kill Cavalry, because he had a penchant for making bad choices. But he entered Waynesboro the next day, destroyed a train of railroad cars and other private property before Wheeler's troops pushed him out again. At dawn on November 28th, His cavalry, Wheeler's 4,000-strong cavalry, attacked Kilpatrick's camp south of Waynesboro and drove him southwest. He's now, Kilpatrick's really annoyed now. He's had enough of this. You know, Sherman's army is marching. He's supposed to be helping, and he's being plagued by a smaller Confederate cavalry unit. So he sends his entire division to destroy the Confederate force on December 4th. Early in the morning, Kilpatrick, who was supported by two infantry brigades from the nearby 14th Corps, advanced toward Waynesboro. They destroyed several defensive barricade lines, forced their way into Waynesboro. Wheeler ordered a charge to try to allow his remaining forces time to withdraw and to try to block the road to Augusta. And Cockley, and this is a really interesting thing, Cockley was serving as an aide-de-camp, and he was part of Company L of the 10th Ohio. He was an aide-de-camp, which basically he was a runner for a Union general.
Which one, do you know?
I'm not sure which one.
Yeah.
But he was 21 years old. He was a cavalry officer. And darn it, he wasn't just going to sit this thing out. So he actually pleaded three times. Let me get out of here. Let me go to my unit. I got to join this fight. The third request, they finally granted it. So he rode. He joined his regiment, joined in the charge upon the enemy. His Medal of Honor citation says, Cockley three times asked permission to join his regiment in a proposed charge upon the enemy. In response to the last request, having obtained such permission, Cockley joined his regiment and fought bravely at its head throughout the action. And after a lot of furious fighting, Wheeler's forces hastily withdrew, and the Battle of Waynesboro kind of settled. There wasn't a whole lot of fighting during Sherman's march to the sea, but that was certainly a piece of it there. Cockley was one of those guys, and he just said, "I'm not comfortable staying in the rear with the gear."
Carl, when you mentioned he's with the 10th Ohio Cavalry, does that mean Cockley himself was on horseback?
Yes.
Okay.
He was a full-fledged cavalry officer, and they did their part. The 10th Ohio continued its service throughout the end of the Civil War, including the Siege of Savannah on December 20th and 21st, and then turned north and participated in the campaign of the Carolinas in 1865 until the war ended in April. He eventually rose to the rank of captain. Interestingly, he's the only member of the 10th Ohio Cavalry Regiment to win the Medal of Honor, which he received on August 2nd, 1897. Cockley died December 26, 1901, at the age of 58, and is buried at Oakland Cemetery in Shelby. There's a very nice mausoleum there. He's got his name on the front of it. I believe it's a mausoleum. If from what I read, it's a mausoleum actually designed for 10 people, and I think he's the only person interred there. I don't know how that came to be, but native of Lexington, buried in Shelby, and played a key part in helping General William Sherman's march to the sea through Georgia succeed with his efforts at Waynesboro.
Born here, died here, Richland County, born and bred, and rose to the heights in the Civil War.
And again, I will tell you that if you go to richlandsource.com and read the story about Mr. Cockley, there's a video there that kind of outlines Sherman's march to the sea. There's a very nice picture. There's an artist's rendering of the final cavalry charge of Union troops at Waynesboro on December 4th, 1864. And just some good information. There's also in a very nice photo of the Cockley Mausoleum up at the cemetery in Shelby.
Compelling story about David Cockley. I hope you'll read it on Richland Source. And join us again next time as we look at another Richland County Congressional Medal of Honor winner.
Next, an event that you should know about. Today, wear your best red, white, and blue outfit to get a free ride at Richland Carousel Park. But that's not all. It's Wacky Wednesday, too. At 11 a.m., kids are invited to join for Storytime Theater. There will be hot dogs on the grill, prizes, games, and lots more. Have fun. Finally, we'd like to take a moment to remember the life of Michael Bonte. Mike was born in Toledo in 1970. He graduated from Lexington High School in 1988 and went on to attend North Central State College. He married his wife, Tara, in 2009. Mike was employed for more than 25 years at Fastenal, most recently as an on-site development specialist. He was a member of St. Peter's Catholic Church. Throughout his life, Mike enjoyed golfing, Friday Fox visits, and spending time with his family and friends. He was an avid OSU, Cleveland Browns, and Guardians fan. Mike was a devoted husband to Tara and father to Jacob, and always watched his son's soccer, basketball, and baseball games. He is survived by his loving wife, his son, one brother, nieces and nephews, and a host of extended family who were so very important to him. Thank you for taking a moment to celebrate and remember Mike's life. You can submit an obituary for free on Richland Source. To learn more, click the link in our show notes or visit richlandsource.com/obituaries/submit. Thanks for listening. Join us again tomorrow. Also, make sure to head over to richlandsource.com and click the Be a Member button to help support independent local journalism that informs and inspires. Every contribution goes to helping us make Richland County a better place and to help keep our journalism free. Also, if you like this podcast and want to hear more, make sure to rate and review us on Apple Podcasts.